Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I just share a few words on this occasion that I think are appropriate and from the Lord. If I could title my talk, I would title it in two terms. The first one would be Hallmarks of the Upper Room. Hallmarks of the Upper Room. And the second byline would be The Power of Friendship. The Power of Friendship. Don't know if you really meant what you just sang, but if you did, you're really in for something. If our God is greater, then he has power greater than any other. And he designs, he means for his power to dwell among us. And one of the hallmarks of the upper room, you see, the birthplace of the church was in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. When a little band of believers, maybe about this size, were sent there by Jesus, when Jesus was ascending on the mountain, he said, you go to Jerusalem and you wait until you're wrapped up, until you're clothed, until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're wrapped up with power from on high. And they went there, and they spent 10 days praying and just waiting on God. And on the day of Pentecost, as they were there, the Bible says they were in one place. And that doesn't mean they were in one physical room. It means they were in one place mentally. They were in one place attitudinally. They were in one place heart-wise. They were in one place spiritually. They were in one mind. And they were in one accord. And so when they finally got to that place, we kind of touched a moment of that in the song. We almost got to one place where we were thinking the same, hoping for the same, believing for the same. He said when they were in the same place, one mind, one heart, it says there came a sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. What would you do if you went to church on a Sunday morning and you got to one place and a mighty rushing wind came through the building? Did you know that's God's heart for his people? He's done it before. I believe he can do it again. I think he even wants to do it again. But if we don't know the hallmarks of the upper room, if we don't understand the principles of the upper room, we'll never get there. And the birthplace of the church was in the upper room. Now, y'all trying to plant a church here. They're trying to win a city. But you cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot do it in your own power. Without the power of Holy Spirit, without the presence of Holy Spirit, without relying on him, you cannot accomplish what you desire. They were in one place, an upper room, and wind came, and literal tongues of fire set upon them. And they began to speak in languages they did not know. They began to speak in languages they did not understand. There were signs and wonders, and that set off some amazing times of visitation of the Lord, where miracles and healings and signs and wonders were taking place. This is actually normal for the church, and anything other than that is abnormal. It's dead, dry Christianity, and I don't have time for it. I wish I could talk more about the hallmarks of the upper room. Because if you do not have the hallmarks of the upper room in your church, you ought to just shut the church down. You just ought to close it down and quit. If you don't have the glory of God in your midst, if you don't have the power of God in your midst, if you don't have the transforming holiness of God in your midst, then why do this? Let's go to the lake on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons. I believe we are in a world full of people who are longing for something that's real and authentic. They can hear good music down at the bar. They can see good entertainment over at the movie house. They can see good platform presence at the stage show. What they cannot get is what we cannot produce, which is the power and presence of Almighty God. They can get good principles, good life truths down at the university. But you have all of that without the power and presence of God. You have nothing. The birthplace of church is upper room. Say it with me. The birthplace of church is upper room. Say it again. The birthplace of church is upper room. Let's say it this way. The birthplace of supernatural church is upper room. Say that. The birthplace of supernatural church is upper room. And why would you want anything that's not supernatural? How silly, how trite, how foolish, how childlike to rule out the Holy Ghost, to erase Holy Ghost out of our meetings, to want something we can control instead of wanting only what He can control. You see, one of the hallmarks of upper room was they were surrendered to mighty God. They were surrendered to mighty God. They were not going through form or ritual or routine. They came to that place after being ordered to go to that place by the one who ascended, by the one who went back to heaven, by the one they had traveled with for 3 years, watching him, learning from him, surrounded by the atmosphere that surrounded him when he was baptized in Jordan River and the dove came down and the Father spoke. There was an anointing, a power he carried, a glory he carried. And it was power of spirit, conviction of spirit that he carried that drew all men to him. Can't win the world without spirit. Spirit was sent to the world to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And Jesus said, hey, I'm going to send you to the ends of the earth, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. You need to go ye, but wait. No point going till you're wrapped up in power. You need to go, but stay. You need to go, but I go back to that upper room and stay there till you're endued. Till you're endued with power from on high. Can I just tell you one of the problems? We don't pray like they prayed in the upper room. We don't seek like they sought in the upper room. We don't long, yearn, and desire like they longed and yearned and desired in the upper room. You know what leaders in the upper room were doing? Waiting on God. Waiting on God means they were ministering to God. They were saying, oh God, Jesus, you said we would be clothed in power. And then I would tell you something. Do not accept this job unless you're clothed with power from on high. That would be stupid. Church, I would tell you something. He wants more than anything, to come and robe you and wrap you and clothe you with power from on high. He wants to send the wind of his spirit and tongues of fire upon you to anoint you to go to the ends of the earth with the greatest gospel, the greatest news anyone has ever heard. He's ready to do that today. And the leaders of this band, there are 19 of them mentioned in Acts. There was 120 in the upper room, but 19 made mention. The 11 apostles, plus Mary, and Jesus' 5 brothers. Maybe a couple others. They were mentioned there, and they were just waiting in the upper room. And they were dealing with things. They were working some things out. And they were reckoning themselves as dead. They were actually knowing they were going to be martyred as he was martyred. They were true followers. But you know what I find interesting about those 11 men? One of the pieces of business that they did was to replace Judas. Because Judas had betrayed Christ and betrayed them. Covenant had broken. And there was pain in their hearts. There was woundedness in their hearts. And there was an unresolved issue among them. And so Peter stood up and said, "Men and brethren, what happened to Judas? It had to happen. And this evil man, you saw what happened to him. But Jesus called 12 of us. And so one must take his place from among those of us, the 70, who have traveled with him all this time." And they selected Matthias. And then there was 12. And when they got their government in order, and they got their covenant in order, you cannot get your government in order unless your covenant is in order. You cannot get your government in order unless your covenant is in order. See, the power of the upper room is sustained by the power of friendship. The word covenant means friendship. And I'm watching this church. I'm on the internet every week finding out what Pastor Alex and you guys are doing. And I see the pictures of you guys on the fishing boats and at the conferences. I keep an eye on you. And you know what I realize? In climbing trees, you're nuts. What I realize is that, oh, covenant, relationship, friendship, bonding is happening among you. And for 3 years, those 12 guys had bonded. One of them advocated the relationship. And they said, "Let's bring in another." Now, it wasn't a great honor for him to be named with the 12. It just meant he was going to die too. He was going to die too. So, okay, guys, here's the deal. Ladies, here's the deal. They're going to die for the gospel. Do you still want to do this? Have you thought about that? Oh, it doesn't stop here. Because he shall go to the nations. He shall go to the nations. He shall go to the nations. And sometime the requirement when you go to the nation to win the nation is you shed your own blood. Your blood must cry out from the soil of that land in order for souls to be saved. It's the martyr's blood that cries out for souls to be saved. So this is not a little position in a little church. This is a high calling in a high, glorious church. And it costs you everything. I dare you. I adjure you. I warn you. Do not let hands be laid onto you, even as you are only licensed today. Carefully consider what happens here. See, one of the things that happens is that when covenant breaks down, all hell breaks loose. When covenant is broken, all hell breaks loose. So why do you say that, Steve? Because Judas broke covenant with Jesus and the 12. And what he did, Satan took Jesus to the cross. When covenant broke down, that was the opportunity for Jesus to be snatched by the hands of hell and to be slammed up on a cross, which he willingly surrendered to, because ultimately it was part of Father's plan. He lived to die. He came to lay down his life that you and I might live. Hell only broke through for a minute, because even though they were scattered, these men in covenant were gathered back together. Jesus came and for 40 days revealed himself to them after his resurrection. And he gathered them back together. And he says, "Oh, your hearts are bonded for a reason. These relationships are for a reason. This unity is for a reason. Great glory requires great unity. Great glory requires great unity." They never knew the cross. They never knew the cost till they saw their Savior dying on the cross. Then they understood what he meant when he said, "Take up your cross and follow me. Young men, young women, I challenge you today. You want the power of the upper room that will produce a supernatural church that'll bring in the harvest? There's a cross for you. There's a cross for you. Take up your cross and follow him. He said, come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men. But what happens when you're fishing for men is death works in you and life works in them. And these men, when they gathered back at the upper room, gathered in genuine, true friendship. Genuine, true love. They decided to lay their lives down together for the cause of Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, power came over them. And the word of what happened was noised abroad. And they went down to temple, same temple where Jesus was dragged in and presented before high priest. Same place where he was whipped, scourged. Same place where they turned him over to Roman authority. Put cross on his shoulder. Parted his clothes. Put crown of thorns. Nailed him on cross. Raised him on hill. Ridiculed him through street. Same temple. We're only talking about 60 days later. This is a couple of months after that happened. And the 12, it says Peter taking his stand with the 11. And one of the parts of his sermon was, and this same Jesus whom you crucified has now been made both Lord and Christ. And he said for them to repent, because they were an untoward generation, and they begin to weep and wail and moan and beat their breasts and say, what should we do? He says, repent and believe, and you'll be baptized, and you'll receive the same gift which you see has been deposited to us. And that day, 3,000 people were saved. The greatest gift a truly evangelistic church can ever get is power of upper room. Evangelism without outpouring is a weak evangelism at best. Harvest without baptism is a weak harvest at best. So today we're here. And I'm telling you, either this church gets power of upper room or this church is over. Oh, you think you're moving forward? Not if you don't get power of upper room. Not if you don't embrace power of upper room. Not if you don't soak in power of upper room. It's over. He will remove your lampstand if you don't receive the oil. And can I tell you something? There's not enough oil here. You go, man, I don't like that preacher. Let me tell you what. You wouldn't like Jesus if he were here. From the bottom of my heart, I believe this is what he say. Do you want power of upper room? Are you willing to lay your life down for power of upper room? Are you willing to pay the price to even get into the upper room? Because, ladies and gentlemen, if you are and if you want, you can have. It's a free gift from God. It'll cost you everything, but you can't afford it. You give up everything in order to have it, because he will not coexist with anyone. He demands lordship in your life. He demands lordship in your life. And as these men will come today, and hands will be laid on them, my hope, my righteous expectation, my admonition is that you walk in covenant. You continue to walk in covenant. And your covenant grows stronger and you don't break it. You don't commit the sin of Judas. These men that experience power of upper room stayed friends to the ends of their life. From the ends of the earth, they were friends for the rest of their life. Even as one heard about the other dying the martyr's death, their hearts said, "That's my brother John down there on the Isle of Patmos. That's my brother Peter who has passed on from life unto death. We will be separated no more. Forever in heaven, we will be joined together around the throne, casting our crowns down before the Lord who left us but never left us. And we will say to him, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou hast been slain, and we have loved our own lives not even unto death. And we have accomplished your will and purpose in our lifetimes in this earth.'" So this is not a prestigious position. This is a humble position. This is a cross. This is an altar for you to lay your lives on and to lay your lives down on. And I invite you to the greatest place you've ever been in your life. It's called the upper room. It's where God's glory is revealed. It's where fire from heaven falls not on wood, hay, and stubble, but falls on gold and silver and precious jewels. Falls upon men and women of whom the world is not worthy. And they burn with passion for Jesus. I not only invite these brothers who will come, but I invite you other young people and old alike to lay your life on the altar. To be part of the party in the upper room. And say, "Jesus, come live among us. I came to this city a week ago. I've been here many times. But Jesus told me something was different about this trip than any other. And I told my wife when I left, I said, 'I'm not going to come back. I'm coming to Sioux Falls to stay. I don't know when you see me. And when you see me, it might just be for a few days that I'm going back. Because I believe the time is now. And the people are these people in this city who want upper room experience, who hunger and thirst. And so for the next few nights, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be talking just like I've been talking. I'm going to be calling just like I've been calling. We are going to be praying just like we've been praying. Now we're going to see, can we get 120 in the upper room? It's not about this church. It's not about that church. Because our little churches don't amount to much so far. Because our little churches haven't experienced power of upper room. When upper room comes, everything changes. When upper room comes, everything rearranges. And I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you. Tonight at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And we'll find out from there where we go. It's not for the fearful. It's for the bold and the hungry.
Thank you, Steve. And now I would like to bring another special, super special person in our life and in our church that imparted so much into my personal life. And the life of many of you guys as well. And she will continue the service. Give a hand to Pastor Judy Shaw.
Thank you, Pastor Alex. Thank you, Steve, for delivering to us a very powerful and on-time message. And I'll be there tomorrow night in the upper room experiencing that and seeing what God's going to do. Our service on today... We started here in 2003, and look at us now. God has brought us from a long ways. When a lot of people say we wouldn't make it, they were wrong. We're here, and we're here because God called us here. We're here because this is not a plan of man, but birth out of the womb of God, out of the mind of God. God called forth New Life Church. And I'm so glad to have been a part of that beginning and where we are today. This is not our first ordination, but certainly, or licensing, but certainly for those that are coming forth today, I must say I'm godly proud of them, as I have watched them from the beginning until now and watched the promise of God come to pass in their lives, and to watch their hunger and their desire for the Lord, not only them, but how God has expanded their ministry and their family. You know, a while back, Andre and Nadine were not married, but now God has blessed them to find two beautiful women of God right by their side, doing what God has called them to do, and we honor them tonight. At this time, I'm going to call them to come, Andre and Yana, Earl and Tanya, Vadim and his wife, to come and stand. Call from God to ministry has always been acknowledged by a local church with the pastor. And it says to us that not only do they recognize that God has called them, but the leaders of the church members, have recognized the call of God on their life and have come to publicly announce and publicly sanction and come into agreement with their personal call as it relates to their local church. Pastor Alex and I and the members of New Life are very proud of these that you're looking at today. They have served New Life, they have served Center of Life very well. They have been faithful, they have been conscientious, they have been anxious, they have been zealous. They've done the spiritual, they've done the natural, and they've had a heart to say what Steve Youngblood has been talking about, and that's covenant. They've been covenant from the beginning, and they are walking in covenant, not only with the vision of this church, but with the leadership of this church. So that says unity. Wherever there's unity, there is a commanded blessing. And on today, as we acknowledge the call, acknowledge the work that they've been doing, we have come to lay hands on them. The presbytery here have come to lay hands on them, as Pastor Alex have presented them to us and said they're ready, Pastor Judy. They're ready to be licensed. They're ready to be acknowledged even in a greater way by not only our local church, but even the public. And we're putting our hand on them and our stamp on them, as the Lord has already done that, to say that we'll receive them and help them to grow in the call of God, to help them to further the anointing of God on their lives, to give counsel, to give on-the-job training, and to cause their life to be fruitful, not only personally, but right here in this local church. I'm going to ask you, as witnesses of this wonderful licensing ceremony, to lend us your love, your faith, your support as you see them, to pray for them, not only today, but as they leave here. Pray for them that God's will and his anointing will rest, rule, and abide over their life. Something that Steve said, that's not only for them, but it's for us. We cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that again. We cannot do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that after today, after this public ceremony, as we call it, and hands will be laid upon them, that God himself, the Holy Spirit, will cause a greater work to come forth out of their lives. And that you see them now, but you'll be seeing something greater upon their lives. As Jesus was in the Jordan River, and as God announced to the world that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. That was the official public release of Jesus to the world. And today, as we witness this, I want you to join in with us and ask God's blessing upon this very special time. I'm going to ask Apostle Steve to come back and stand with me. I'm going to ask Apostle Lawrence Hardy to come as a part of the presbytery to stand. Also, Pastor Josh Duncan, who is no stranger to these that are here, and we're going to pray for them. And we want you to join in, and we want you to also pray with them as we lay hands on them and as we speak over their lives the blessing of the Lord as they have come to say, "Yes, Lord, I hear and I will obey." Their commitment has already been given. Their "Yes, Lord" has already been given. And now we've come just to come into agreement with the will of God upon their lives. Pastor, would you come also? Let me tell you that Yana and Andrew will be the worship pastors, are the worship pastors, but we're publicly giving them their licensing. And the way this goes, for many of you that don't already know, that's a part of New Life. There's a two-year training. There's 2 years of pouring into. There's 2 years of on-the-job training and learning more about the work of the ministry and also God doing a greater work in their lives. The Bible talks about proving ourselves in ministry. And if they're going to represent God, the church, then the Lord says to be prepared and to be ready to still show thyself approved, to study and to show thyself approved, a workman unto God, so that he could be, he would rightfully divide the word of God and that he would give honor and glory to his name. So today, Andre and Yana, and also the youth pastor, the dean, and his lovely wife, and then what can we say about our dear brother Earl, who has been faithful all of these years? When I heard that his name was on this sheet, I was so happy, Earl, to see how God has promoted you and elevated you, and that you said yes to the call, and that as you and your lovely wife have been a vital part of this church from the beginning, God surely honors your decision, and God surely honors this time for you in the name of Jesus. Earl and his wife will be serving as deacons in the church, and they have already been doing the work for many years, trust me. So we praise God for their labor of love. I'm going to ask you, Josh, to give me some oil by the laying on of hands. We're going to do what the Bible has prescribed us to do. As men of God, women of God, that God have called into the kingdom to bless you, to honor you, and to release your presence upon you even in a greater way, I want you to know that the laying on of hands is symbolic of God's sanctioning on your life publicly in a greater way. And I say to you, as we come together and lay hands on you, just receive the anointing, receive the affirmation of your Father that have said, "I am well pleased," and that he will grace your life. He will anoint you to even a greater place to serving the ministry in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Come on, men of God. Father, this is a holy moment. This is a holy time for this couple. And as they have labored in the vineyard, you told them to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the ministry, for their labor is not in vain. And Father, today, thank you for the anointing of your presence upon their life as they are being consecrated, set aside for the work of the ministry. God, you called them to be faithful. And you said that we could choose faithful deacons. to come and assist the pastor to build the body of Christ. Let your power, let your anointing rest upon them even in a greater way. Give them wisdom beyond their years. Put a fervency in their heart. Give them eyes to see. Give them compassion that comes only from your heart. Bless them, Lord, to advance the kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I hear the Lord saying, Earl, you were called from your mother's womb to do exactly what you're being licensed and ordained to do today. And the heavens have recorded this even before you were formed in your mother's womb. This is the day of the Lord for you. This is the will of the Lord for you. And as you have said yes, I proclaim the blessing of God be upon your life, upon your family, upon your business, greater than it's ever been before, all because of your yes. Come forth. Come forth in Jesus' name.
You are a pillar in the house of the Lord. You're a pillar in my house, says the Lord. And because you are there, the house will not fall, but rather it shall be filled with my glory. Others may come and others may go. Winds of change and time will blow. But I can count on you, says God, to be faithful. I can count on you to stand through the storm, says the Lord. I can count on you to hold up the arms and the hands of those of your leaders. I can count on you to bind up the brokenhearted, bring strength to the feeble knee. I can count on you. I can count on you. So I say this to you, son. You can count on me as well. I will be your pillar. I have been your support. And I will neither leave or forsake you, but I will cause my blessing upon you to go, even into your children and your grandchildren. For 1,000 generations I shall bless this house, says the Lord, and I will pour my oil upon you and within you. And I will light my fire within you, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I cause you to be carriers of my fire and of my glory, even this day.
And as you are birthing the new baby, so I birth a new thing in your life, saith the Lord, in Jesus' name. To Andre and Yana, may the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, rest upon you in a more excellent way. May your yes be his yes. May your no be his no. May your heart be his heart. May your mind be his mind. May your love be his love. Father, I thank you for this example. I thank you for this faithful couple that have weathered the storm. I thank you for this couple that have said yes, Lord, to the call and to the vision. I thank you that as you have put them together, as you have put them in covenant together, so shall they be in the house of the Lord. I thank you that the oil upon them will flow even down to other couples. I thank you that they will be a model of your love and your grace and your mercy and your unity. I thank you that you have made them as models in the house, as builders in the house, as sustainers in the house, carrying the oil and say, the light will never go out. I thank you, God, for the anointing that's upon their life. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow in Jesus' name.
And the Lord says, many shall see this example. There is an anointing on your life that accompanies older couples. As a young couple, you'll be known for wisdom, for strength. Pastor, I hear the Lord says you can depend on them. Young lady, the Lord's going to birth to you the ministry of intercession. The ministry of intercession. I see young ladies' lives being transformed because of what you've lacked and what you've gone through. You're going to give birth to other young ladies. There is an anointing that rests on your life, sir. Glory, Jesus.
And I stir up the waters. I stir up your spiritual waters in the name of Jesus. And I stir up every gift that God gave you while you were in your mother's womb. And I say, come forth. And the Lord releases you, Yana. He releases you to a new place in Him. Come from the background. I mean, spiritually, come and take your rightful place. Take your rightful place today, said the Lord. And the Lord said, see me and know that I am gracing you for this. Know me. Hear me. Close your ears even to your own voice. And hear me, for I say, I have found thee, blessed and highly favored. Walk in the new anointing that you receive today. Walk in the new anointing that you receive today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Son, there is a fire that is burning within your belly that is yet to come out. It's a fire of my presence. It's a desire, a longing. It's been shut up inside of you, but it is longing to come out. For I have sent a coal off of my altar in heaven. And I have touched your mouth with my words, O man of God. Your lips have kissed the coal from the altar of heaven. And I have caused you to eat that coal, and it lives in your belly. For you shall proclaim the word of the Lord. You shall preach as a man set on fire. Your face will shine like an angel as you declare the good things of God. And you will call men to repentance. You will call them to come to a new way of life. And son, this anointing that is upon you is not only for this city, for this pulpit, for this place. But son, I will take you to far off places in the world. And I will cause you to be a declarer of my good news and a carrier of my glory. But son, you have a business that I say I will bless. I see you in my spirit. I see you now, son. And I see you trying to do business, but you can't hardly do business for ministry. Because everywhere you go, there's people to minister to. And I see you standing under a giant tree. You should be working. Instead, you're ministering and you're praying. You should be working. Instead, you're ministering and you're praying. For I am sending those across your path. But son, you not only preach in church, you preach everywhere you go. You proclaim everywhere you go. And if you'll take care of my business, I'll take care of yours, says the Lord. If you will take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. For have I not told you that you must be about your Father's business? For I am going to greatly bless and prosper you, says the Lord, as you give yourself fully to the development in the days ahead. And this fire within your belly.
Hear the Lord say, Andre, don't settle for less, but settle for the best. You have the best wine. You have the best anointing. You have the best that God has given you. Now give Him your best and don't settle for the rest or like the rest, saith the Lord. Oksana, Vadim, remember when God put you together. It was so God. It was so God. You waited. You waited. And you obeyed. And what God has put together, nobody, nothing will put asunder. And as your marriage is for life, so is your ministry for life. So is the call of God for life. So is your destiny in the hands of God. Your marriage is in the hand of God. Your family is in the hand of God. Your future is in the hand of God. And I say unto you, you have a bright future. A bright future. For what the Lord put in you when you were in your mother's womb, honey. The hunger. You didn't care what anybody else was doing. You wanted God. You had to have God. You needed God. You didn't care. You just said, God, I want more of you. Father, I stir up that hunger like never before. God, I stir it up in Jesus' name. That is all she's ever wanted. She didn't want position, God. That's not why she's here. She didn't want name or fame. She just wanted you. Father, I stir it up like never before. And I call forth that hunger, that first love, God. I call it back as she stands next to her husband, as she stands, God, carrying the oil, as she stands releasing the oil. I thank you, God. The call and the anointing in this hour is for a time and a season and a reason and a generation. And Father, the enemy will never be able to shut their mouths. He will never be able to put out their fire. He will never be able to stop their hands from reaching out. For I put a reach in you, son. I put a reach in you, son. And you don't see people as others see people. You don't judge people. You just love them. You just love them like Jesus loved them. And you just love them. You don't care where they came from. You don't care what they're doing. All you do is have the love of Jesus. And the love said, that's how I will win them. It's my love through you. And as you have said yes to the Lord, as you have said yes, God, I'll lead by precept and example. I'll lead by living the life myself. I'll lead by not compromising. I'll lead by following you. Give him more. Give him more. I stir up the hunger and I stir up the desire. And when the enemy tried to put his fire out, God, you said no. And when the enemy wanted him to turn back and give up and leave, God, you said no. And he obeyed you. And he heard your voice. I hear the Lord say, you hear my voice. You can hear my voice. Incline thine ear. And I shall show you great things. And I shall do many things, great things amongst you and for you. For I call you son because you are son. Your future is bright. This is the beginning, but it's also the end, because you won't stray away from this call. I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You're young, but hear the Lord saying, you'll be a father to many. You're young, but you have the wisdom of a father. You have a love of a father. And let me settle this right now. You are a good father. And you will be the best father. In Jesus' name.
I wasn't paying attention earlier. I guess I should have, but I don't know what your job is other than if you don't know how to play the guitar, you ought to learn. You can play the guitar. I see you playing his guitar. But what I see happening is I see musical notes coming down from heaven, and they're entering this hand. And I see this hand plucking the strings, and I see a sound. I see the notes coming out of the soundboard. They're glorious. And I hear a sound coming out of this mouth, a song, the words. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing. They set men free. They give hope to the hopeless. They bind up the brokenhearted. These words, these words, these words. And I hear the I hear the host of heaven saying, who will sing my song? Who can I give my songs to? Who will play my sounds? Who can I give my sounds to? And I see with your hand raised saying, it's me, Lord, it's me, it's me. I'll take that, I'll take that. I'll be faithful with that. I'll be faithful with that. For the Lord says it's the song of the shepherd over the sheep that causes their hearts to be at peace. It's the song of the shepherd over the sheep that causes the wolves to flee. Because he knows that the shepherd is there. And the shepherd is not just a singer. The shepherd is a warrior. And should he try to come in, the shepherd will send out a shaft and will penetrate to the very heart this enemy of the flock of God. And the Lord says, in this next 3 years, son, I'm going to raise you up like an Asaph and a Heman and a Jeduthun. If you don't know who they are, you need to go read it. I'll raise you up as a chief musician and a chief psalmist in the house of the God. And I will bring around you a whole company of those who will entertain my presence, who will entertain my presence, and you will go far and wide, not to perform, but to sing the songs of the shepherd over the flock of God. For I would inhabit you, says God. I would indwell you, says the Spirit of the Lord. I would indwell you, says the shepherd of our souls, that my sheep would hear the songs that I sing over them. You will do this the rest of your life.